You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favourite shows from. Now here are your hosts, Kieran Burke, Jonathan Breyer, and Gary Riley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. It's Series 5, Episode 27, coming your way this week. It's Kieran Burke and Gary Riley on duty. Unfortunately, JB is feeling a little bit under the weather, so hope you're getting well, John, and I'm sure you'll be back and kicking next week with us. But look, if you're not feeling up to sending your predictions in this week, that's okay, because you're well clear at the top of the predictions league. So give myself and Gaz a chance to catch up. But hopefully you'll be back with us next week, John. But Gary, we've got a lot to get through. Obviously, there's a huge game coming up Friday night at Inchicore. St. Pat's taking on Shamrock Rovers, big Dublin derby. But obviously, it'll have big implications on the title as well and where that goes this year. So we're going to hear from Stephen O'Donnell, the St. Pat's head coach, and one of their star men, Chris Forrester, ahead of that game on tonight's show. But we've got a lot to get through as well, aside from those two interviews. Obviously, we'll look back at the FAI Cup games from the weekend, and we'll look back at that stunning game on, I think it was Monday night. I'm nearly struggling to keep up with the days of the week. I've been watching that much League of Ireland football over the last couple of days, but that's the great thing about LOI TV. You can watch all of these games, see all of these brilliant goals. So we will chat as well about the future of LOI TV, because anyone that follows myself on social media will have seen threw up a bit of a tweet during the week about the future of LOI TV, and it got a fairly good response. So we're going to have a chat about that on the show. And obviously, Gary, someone that's involved with streaming, good to get his thoughts on it. But Gaz, we'll start with the game I was at last night in Oriel. Dundalk 3, Harps 1 after extra time. It was 1-1 after the 90. To be honest, not the best game of football I was ever at, but there was some absolutely cracking goals in this one all the same.
Yeah, there was. Not, as you said, not the best evening of football. Probably quality was a bit lacking. Maybe both teams were a bit tired, and probably true enough, as Dundalk probably were the slightly fitter of both sides and were able to capitalize on that in extra time rather. So, but yeah, there was some great goals. Sean Boyd again with an absolute cracker of a goal, great ball in. From the left, he took it down and absolutely smacked it by Peter Cherry, which was a great way to start the game. And you probably thought, right, how long of a night is this going to be for Dundalk? But they kept plugging along. Bit of quick thinking by Duffy to pop the ball into Patrick Hooban and Murray. Was it Murray who scored the goal?
Yeah, Murray, brilliant. Quick throw in from Duffy and an overhead kick from Patrick Hooban. And usually if you think an overhead kick, you think of a goal, but you don't see an overhead kick resulting in an assist too often, do you?
No, not too often, but I don't think anyone cared too much, as got them back into the game. And probably as the time went on, like, there wasn't that much quality in the second half, was there?
No,
like,
the second half was really poor. I think the big turning point of the game for me, Harps have a corner in the second half. I can't remember who rose highest in the penalty area, but the header comes back off the crossbar, and then Olabi is inside the six-yard box, and he meets it with his head, and he kind of heads it down into the turf, and Peter Cherry gets across and claws it away. Yeah. Brilliant save from Cherry. And I actually turned and I said to herself, I said, that could be the turning point now. Dundalk might take a bit of belief from that, because that really should have been a goal for Harps. And it went extra time in the end. And I think, as you said, you pointed out rightly, Dundalk, despite the fact this was a patched together side, for anyone that wasn't following the build up to this game, Dundalk were hit with a bit of a COVID scare or a COVID outbreak before the game. So the back four was a real patched up job. A lot of inexperienced players. Even Leahy was playing centre back, which he wouldn't be accustomed to. Obviously, they had a young under-19s player, Meawa, playing alongside him, who I thought did really well. So it was a bit of a patched up back four, but it was just the fitness in the end that kind of told.
Probably was, yeah. And there was a bit of nice bits of skill. Ben Amara got the penalty that Patrick Hooban dispatched well, but it was probably a bit of a tired tackle. I think it was from Siddiqui, probably, that happened earlier on in the game, and Ben Amar tried the same thing. Siddiqui wouldn't have been sold that quickly, but I think, you know, tiredness had certainly crept into the game. You know, it was still a replay as well, yeah. and the game last week was, you know, on the door handles as well, so I think there was a lot left up in Ballybuffet, and probably there was a bit of tiredness crept into it, and that was probably a forwards type of tackle he made on Ben Amar. And, you know, Ben Amar did well enough. I know, I thought, didn't think Ben Amar had a great game at all. But
no, he had an awful game, I have to say. Really, yeah. Did have a poor game. But
like, he did well to draw the challenge.
Yeah, he's got a bit of trickery in him, but overall, I'm not sure he's up to the standard, to be honest. But he was able to pull a trick out of the locker there, as you said, a bit of a tired tackle from the Harps defender, and gives away the penalty. Hooban sticks it away nicely, and then a sensational free kick from Michael Duffy. And I think no matter kind of how much of a patched up Dundalk 11 is, if you've Hooban and Duffy on song, you're always going to have a chance. Look, the question will be after this, where will they be next year, I suppose? But just going back to this game in isolation, I think from speaking to Harps fans after the game, they were absolutely sick leaving Oriel, because that game was there to be won in the opening 45 minutes. It was a really, really poor Dundalk display in the opening half of the game. And I think the likes of Owen Abbey there missed some great chances on the break to when they were already one up to go and kill this game off. Harps could have been 3 or 4-1 up at half time for me. They didn't take the chances. Yeah. And then in the second half, for whatever reason, their performance just leveled out. They didn't really create. And then it went into the extra time, and I thought their legs were just gone. So, look, I know Dundalk fans, they have every right to be happy about this result. And there was a lot of positivity and enthusiasm leaving the ground last night, as there should be after a result like this, because it's been such a bad couple of weeks for them that this is fantastic to reach a cup semi-final and keeps the chance of European football alive for next year. But I just thought, watching the game kind of a little bit detached, obviously everyone knows I like to see Dundalk do well, but with a little bit of a neutral head on it, just watching the game, I thought to myself, if this was a better side than Dundalk were up against, they probably would have been slaughtered.
Yeah, there's no question about that. I think it's easy to say, if they were playing Shamrock Rovers, they would have been slaughtered. That's the same for a lot of teams. But I think if any team a bit further up the table were in Oriel last night, I think they would have had a bit more killer instinct to go and actually grab the game by the scruff of the neck, as the saying goes, and put Dundalk down. The quality just wasn't there. I think it was more of, you know, two tired fellas slapping each other, do you know what I mean? And without any quality or any direction.
And I have to say, look, it's a tired argument at this stage. It's not just ourselves that go on about it, but I thought the pitch just really didn't help the game either. Even Dundalk, when they were making 5-yard passes sideways, I could just see the ball skipping up and players, their first touch was off, and I just thought this Dundalk team would be so much better to watch if they were on a good grass pitch every week.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say that, but
well, maybe not at the moment. But even, you know, you go back to their best team of 2016. You think, geez, how much better could they have been on a really good pitch?
Yeah, well, let's not take away anything. That was a great team.
You know, just saying, what they could have been even better, maybe
won the really World Cup. Like, they did as well as any Irish team has ever done. So we'll leave that where it is. I think I don't think you can blame the pitch for any. You know,
yeah, well, look, maybe it's no surprise some of their best nights came at Talla.
Yeah, well, that says a lot about the state of Oriel more than anything else, aside from the pitch. You know,
I thought it contributed to an even a poor game, but even worse last night, I have to say.
Yeah, there's no question about that, but, you know, we're blue in the face talking how poor of a pitch it is and how poor of a ground it is in general, so. Unfortunately, with the state of the club, outside of the playing staff and the playing arena, I don't think we're going to see too much of a solution to that end.
Do you think Dundalk can go on and win the cup?
No, I don't. I think the like of Bowes, I'd actually put Bowes down as the favourites to win the cup at the minute.
Yeah, I'd agree.
They're the team that's the most together. They're probably due a win in the cup. They're due a final, probably. So I think my money would be on them if it was on anybody.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. But as I said, speaking to Harps fans leaving the ground last night, I think this was a huge missed opportunity for Finn Harps. But you have to give the Dundalk 11 that went out real credit for the effort. I won't say performance, because as I said, it wasn't a great performance, but the effort levels and just their commitment last night, they really stuck to tasks even when they were one down and things weren't going their way. They stuck and they kept going, and I think the fans played a big part in that. Do you think we might see an improved Dundalk, improved results now at home, that they have their full kind of back and behind them again? Because the atmosphere last night was fantastic at Oriel Park.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll help, but I think there's
you can probably say that about most teams that you know yeah. you're thinking of a full Tala and a full Daly Mount. Obviously, you'd expect it to be a more difficult place to go, but I think in particular Oriel, where such a tight pitch and the fans are on the players' back, it just felt like the fans really helped them along last night.
Yeah, there's no question about that, and fair play to the fans for turning up in a difficult position that the team is in at the moment. But I think if 50,000 people that were there, I'm not really sure that they would have battered Harps. You know what I mean? I think there's too many issues in the playing team at the minute. Mm. There could be any number of fans there, and it wouldn't make that much of a difference.
Right, we'll move on. Bowes 4, Maynooth 0. Not a lot to say on this one, Gary. It was always going to be a difficult day for Maynooth, but to have a man sent off after they were already one down, that was curtains for them. So goals from Buckley, Livingston, Ward and Iduwu. But Ward's goal really caught my eye in particular. I mentioned it so much on the show. Anytime he plays, when he's on song, I still think he's one of the best number 10s in this league, Keith Ward.
Yeah, Probably up there, all right. Look, it was a bit of a procession. There was another sending off in that game as well, wasn't there?
There was, yeah.
But Bowes did what they needed to do. It was a great draw from them. Relieved a bit of pressure, you know, off the game. And you could probably say they were always going to win that game. I think you had actually predicted it right, that it would be a 4-0 win for Bowes.
I just want to point out how unlucky I was in the prediction league this week. So I had Bowes 4-0. That was 3 points for me there. I had 3-2 to UCD. You were at that game. You can tell me how close I was there. But I also had 2-0 Pats, and they got a late goal to win 3-0. So I almost had maximum points this week in the prediction league. But look, I clawed back a few points this week, thankfully.
Yeah,
but
sure, if me auntie had balls, you know.
But yeah, as you said, it turned out to be a bit of a procession for Bowes in the end, and they're probably favourites to win the cup now. That's definitely the same thought me and you have.
Yeah.
But one thing that I was impressed with was the travelling support Maynooth brought to this one. They had a bit of a vocal support behind the goals, and I know James Talbot after the game tweeted it was great to see the Maynooth fans, you know, giving a bit of stick to the goalkeeper and the atmosphere they created. Do you think maybe down the line Maynooth might have an eye on League of Ireland football?
Yeah, that's certainly been mentioned lately, particularly getting to this stage in the FAI Cup.
We had Killian on here last week from Maynooth, and
yeah,
you know what he said about the club and the setup sounded really promising. And obviously, when you think of teams like this, the one question you always have: well, will they get support? And I'm sure, like a lot of the people that travelled there the other night, probably were friends and family of players. But you know, it was really impressive the support they brought over to Daly Mount. And you think of a place like Maynooth, and obviously the college there. Surely, if you marketed it correctly and did things the right way, you'd like to think you could try and get something up and running there if that was the ambition to maybe play League of Ireland down the line.
Yeah, I think you know, it's probably a good time for a club or a better time for a club like that to get involved. There's a new FAI now. How new it is or how much better it is than before is probably still up for debate, but it's probably in a good place to be more accepting of a new club in the league. It would be great to see, you know, another like university based team get involved. I still think it's a great thing that UCD are involved. The amount of players that they produce for the league, that have gone on to such good things for many years, it's just great. It really depends on the appetite of the people. There's a lot of work that goes into it.
Huge cost, obviously, that's the biggest
huge
thing.
Cost, but and there's a lot of things there that need to be considered. But
maybe you're right. If there could be some sort of, if they could link in with the university there in some kind of way,
that'd be key.
Yeah, the way UCD do it, they're probably one of the few clubs in the league that don't rely on gate receipts and such, because they're linked in with the college there and it's part of the football program. So look, maybe it's something they'll consider. Maybe it's not. Maybe it just wouldn't be feasible. But I thought it was a really good show they put on the other night. Their fans at Daly Mountain, from what we heard last week on the show here from Killian, it seems to be a club doing things the right way. So you just never know. But sticking with Bowes for the moment, Gary, the game on Monday night, oh, unbelievable stuff. 3-3 against Derry. Liam Burt with another screamer. He only seems to score crackers these days. Then Jamie McGonigal, who was excellent throughout the game. He scored a fantastic equaliser.
Yeah.
Junior put Derry 2-1 up. Then Georgie Kelly gets his first of the night to make it 2-2. Akintunde scores late on. You think they've won it, 3-2. But then up steps Georgie Kelly yet again. A goal he had absolutely no right to score to make it 3-3. And one of the best games in the league for many a year.
It was a good game. I'm not sure. Will I remember it next week? Probably not. But I have to say, the goals that were scored, some of the play that was on show, unfortunately, I couldn't watch the game back. I couldn't watch the game live. I was doing a bit of work for the town. But I thought it was the goals and the quality on show was just brilliant. You know,
yeah, because like as I mentioned last night I was at, there was some fantastic goals in that Dundalk Harps game, but the quality of football was rubbish. Yeah. Whereas this one had fantastic goals, but the general play throughout the entire 90 minutes was sensational. It was such high quality football on show.
Mm. Yeah, no, it definitely was, and it was great to see. But you really have to point out so the goals that were scored. Burt with a screamer to open it, an equally beautiful goal by Jamie McGonigal to level it up. And but look, I really have to highlight Georgie Kelly again. I have a lot of egg all over my face and front at the minute. I questioned whether he would be the man to, you know, get the goals for Bowes. I have been proven wrong a lot of times this season by himself, and you really have to hand it to him. That third goal, like even he actually got, he had a goal and two, he had an assist and two goals on Monday night. What a great return in a, you know, important game for both teams. Yeah. He really stood up, and, you know, in the last minute, or, you know, in injury time, scores an absolute belter of a goal. You know, the thinking that he had to, you know, the stuff he had to think about scoring that goal instead of just nodding it on, or
exactly, because I was watching it, and when I seen the cross coming in, I said, that's a good cross, but you know, the clock's running down here. The only chance Georgie Kelly has is throw the head at this and hope it loops into the far corner, to take it down on the chest, shove the defender aside, and then volley it across the goalkeeper and into the top corner. Unbelievable.
Yeah, that's the only way to describe it. Probably goal of the season, I'd say, or certainly up there.
It's up there, yeah.
But just like, you know, the thought process that he had to go through to do it, and great chest control to play himself into that space, and then to have the quality and peace of mind that should just finish it off. Do you know what I mean? You see a lot of good play this season. Like, even I mentioned Danny Mandrea last week. He does a really nice bit of play to play himself into the space, does another little flick, but then smacks it off the crossbar when it wasn't that hard to score, probably. Whereas Georgie Kelly this week, he makes the great bit of skill, opens his body to play himself into that bit of space with his chest, mind, and then on the full volley, smacks it in. What a game, and what a great performance from him in particular.
Yeah, and look, from a Derry point of view, to let the 2 points slip there so late on after seeing Sligo lose to Shamrock Rovers during the weekend. You know, this was a massive missed opportunity to close that gap on the top three. Sligo now third on 45. You've got Derry fourth on 39 points. They've played the same amount of games as Sligo, and the Bows have the two games in hand on both of them teams, and they're sitting on 38 points. Who's favourites for that third spot now?
Well, I'd have to say Bows again, I'm afraid. I just think that they're going, they seem to have ironed out. You know, at the start they were a bit unreliable. You didn't really know what was happening, and there was some bad performances thrown in. I think with a couple of games in hand, I think they'll be able to get it over the line. They're playing some nice stuff. They're into a cup semi final as well. There's a lot of positives there, and I think they'll be able to bring themselves up. It's hard to see it when you're looking at the table, like. Do Bows have enough? But they have a couple of games in hand. There's a lot of potential there to get into third. And look, I know Sligo have won a couple of games, but in recent weeks, I don't have any faith in them to keep on going and actually get out of the rut that they were in and finish strongly for the rest of the season, I think Bose will be able to do that.
Right, tell us about the game you were at on Friday night, UCD 2, Waterford 3. It sounded like an absolute cracker.
It was an unbelievable game. It's just a shame that we only have Pixelot evidence of this game. My friend from abroad was home and brought him along to it. Good listener of the pod. How are you, Matthew? but we were sitting in the bowl and I said, number seven, watch out for him for UCD, Liam Kerrigan. He's going to do a lot of good stuff tonight. Wait till you see. And I ended up, I probably bruised his arm with the amount of tapping I was doing. look. I'm blue in the face talking about Liam Kerrigan and I tweeted about it. I can't get over how good this fella is. For such a young player, the confidence he had throughout the game, the skill, the bravery, the confidence, it's all there. He is such a good player. I've really high hopes for him. I probably expect to see him in an Ireland jersey someday, which is probably a lot of pressure. Well, it's only me saying this, so it's probably not that much pressure, but from the get-go, he was exceptional. He got his assist, he got a goal, and he got a penalty that was saved as well. But I think Waterford ended up changing their left-back three times throughout the game to deal with him. Wonderful player. But for the game itself, really great quality game. I was kind of expecting Waterford to go out and probably a bit more professional and probably try and deaden the game a bit.
Yeah.
You know, kind of nullify the qualities that UCD do have. But they weren't able to do that. I thought the midfield for Waterford was non-existent in the first half. They seemed to be completely anonymous. And they only got an equaliser going in at the break because of some kind of lax play out from the back from UCD. They didn't really react to even when they did lose possession. It was kind of just, oh God, what happened here? And then it's in the back of their net. So it was 1-1 at half time. But in the second half, it was just end-to-end stuff. Some of the chances. The UCD team, you know, we've seen a lot of UCD teams down through the years. They were great ball players and great confidence on the ball. But particularly Whelan and Kerrigan, they're a level above again. The confidence they have, if there's any even remote chance of them running at the opposition goal, they'll take it. They don't care who's in front of them. They think they will 100% believe they can beat them. Just a joy to watch. But Kerrigan put them 2-1 up. I can't for the life of me remember who equalised again for Waterford. Whelan
Jr., Kerrigan, the penalty from Patterson, and then Prince gets the winner. That's the timeline.
Oh, thank you very much. unfortunately, Whelan did miss the penalty, which was unfortunate. But it's a bit of a disappointment. But
I suppose you have to give him one, haven't you?
You kind of do, because I actually said to Matthew, who was with me, I was like, I'll wait to see this now. I'll eat me hat if this is. I think I said I'll eat me mask if he misses this, and unfortunately, I didn't eat it, but I was so surprised that he did. But fair play to Murphy for the save, and I'm not sure if it kind of changed the flow of the game. UCD kept plugging on. I thought Patterson was exceptional for Waterford. He really came into the game, particularly in the second half. He was making some great runs, great powerful runs with the ball, driving Waterford forward. And was a real standout player for Waterford throughout the game. But as time went on, I was expecting extra time. But I wouldn't have been surprised if either team had snatched a winner, do you know? It was end-to-end stuff. And then UCD broke forward from a Waterford corner. Whelan, I think, is... The ball is fed into Whelan. I thought there was a great shout for a free kick. Maybe not. It was a yellow card, in my opinion. Possibly a red. I thought the Waterford defender kind of dragged him back and the play broke down and Waterford were able to clear it up the pitch, and that's where they eventually scored from. I thought it wasn't a great call from the referee. He probably wasn't up with the game. It was in the last minute of the game, but look, Waterford go up and they work it well and they drag it or fire it across the box and bury it. But all in all, what a great game. Great atmosphere. There was a great crowd up from Waterford. There was a lot of UCD fans as well. They were jibing at each other throughout the whole game, which is something that I hadn't seen in a long time, unfortunately. But really great game. Unfortunately for UCD, they were the losers on that night, but it really could have went either way.
Yeah, no, look, that's great to hear. It sounded like a fantastic advert, but yeah, I did see that decision at the end. Look, the footage I had wasn't fantastic, so I couldn't make a conclusive call on whether it should have been a free kick to UCD or not, but I suppose you have to credit Waterford for that old saying of play the whistle, and they took advantage and went up the other end and got the winner. And I suppose that's just further testament to what Mark Bertram's doing. They're into a cup semi-final now. It's incredible how he's turned that club around so quickly.
It really is, yeah. He certainly wouldn't have been too happy with the first half performance by Waterford. I think they got out of jail there with that mistake from UCD. To be fair to Waterford, they did capitalise on. But I thought the first half performance just wasn't good enough. I thought they needed to be a bit more. I'm not sure even if they underestimated UCD as a first division side. I'm not really sure, but I thought they needed to be more involved with the game. They were very passive, very poor passing, looking up and seeing no movement in front of them and then just passing it between the centre-backs and back to the keeper. And that's, of course, a testament to how well UCD had prepared. But, yeah, as you said, Mark Bertram has really done a lot. And he probably gave them some form of hairdryer treatment at halftime because they came out a different side. And, you know, they got over the line and now they're in a cup semi-final, which is just unthinkable.
Another team that will be in the semi-finals is St. Pat's. They won 3-0 against Wexford. Derek Tomney was in charge of this game, as we touched on last week, and he was involved in another controversial moment. He sent Sam Bone off early in the game. It looked like a very, very harsh red card, but despite that, Pats were comfortable winners in the end. Dara Burns, he looks a really top prospect. He got a couple of goals. Ronan Coughlin got a penalty late on. But I actually thought there was a really good performance here from Wexford. Look, it was made that bit easier by the early red card, but it wasn't as easy of a 3-0 as maybe the result sounds.
No, probably not. But look, I think all Wexford needed was a decent performance, and they got that, really, you know. There'd be no shame in going out in a cup away to St. Patrick's Athletic, who are at the opposite end of the Airtricity League in both divisions. You know what I mean? They're so far away from that level. So no real shame in it. I think it's a good thing, or it's a great thing, that they got as far as they did. And, you know, we're talking about how well Ian Ryan has done for Wexford this season. And that's just another feather in his cap. 3-0 loss away is not great, but again, as you said, it probably doesn't tell the full picture of the game. But look, next season will be the big thing for Ian Ryan.
Yeah, as I said, there was the controversial sending off of Sam Bone. I believe Pats are going to appeal this red card. And earlier on in the week, I caught up with their manager, Stephen O'Donnell, just to get his thoughts very quickly on the, I suppose, some of the decisions that we've discussed on the show over the last couple of weeks and a lot of the chat we've been having about referees. This is what he had to say to me.
Thanks, Jamie. Good morning, Stephen. How are you?
Here, how are you?
Not too bad. Just going back to the Wexford game very quickly, obviously I'm not going to draw you on the ref's performance or anything, but there was some controversial decisions in the game. And I was just wondering, were you surprised with the booking of the referee, Derek Tomney, given he's been in the headlines so often lately?
No, I wasn't surprised. I don't, like, in regards, you know, there's been sort of a lot of headlines, I suppose, regarding officiating. So, you know, whoever was appointed, but no, I wasn't surprised. It was just, look, no one's saying refing's an easy job, and it's easy for, obviously, I want every decision to go St. Patrick's Athletic's way on the sideline, and sitting up in the stand when you have a clear head and that, and watching a ref's performance is easy. And it's like playing, it's like supporters when they're in the stand watching a player's performance, it's easy. Oh, I should have done this, he should have done that. It's tough when you're down in the middle and in the game, it's a fast pace, and there are tackles and it's split second decisions. We have enough refereeing rows during the week in training with Shawnee and Padge. Chris will adhere to that. Say it's a tough gig to be a ref. But it's just one of those things. It's some of the decisions I wouldn't have agreed with on Friday, but I suppose you're going to get that every week, aren't you? And they are coming under a lot of pressure, which you could say is unfair as well in regards, as I said, it's like players going into a game if they're getting a lot of heat. It's not a great place mentally to be going into matches. So I suppose what everyone's just looking for is 50-50 down the middle in regards, you know, your decision-making in any given game.
Yeah, in the nicest way possible, I suppose a lot of people would have said you were a man that refereed games at times yourself when you were playing. How have you found the whole situation on the sideline this year? There's a lot of managers, obviously Tim Clancy, Ollie Horgan, have been talking about maybe yellows and reds been brandished too easily for managers for things that have happened on the sideline.
Well, I do agree with that. I do agree with that. I think you look at the Premier League and every main league in the world, you rarely see a manager get red carded or a yellow card. It doesn't happen. And I don't think that's because managers are that lot more polite in England or wherever in all the main leagues. I think that is an issue. I do think they've been firing out cards to management and that all too easy. It breaks up the flow of the game too, you know, when a ref's running over to the sideline and there's a bit of thing and then stop start to the game. So I would agree with that. I think that can be looked at. But look, it is what it is. It's an emotional game. It'd be worse if everyone was turning up and it was like a morgue and there was no emotions involved and no one was saying anything. So football is that, and football's so tight, especially a lot of the games this season. It can be decided on moments, it can be decided on decisions, small margins, you know, so everyone's fighting tooth and nail to get those small margins.
Right, Gary, we'll move on to the predictions this weekend. We'll start with the First Division. Just for our listeners, this is how the table stands after last weekend. I actually came out on top last weekend, but nothing to shout about. I only got 4 points, but as I said, I was very unlucky not to get the maximum. But I got four points, and yourself and John both got three. So I'm on 114 down at the bottom. You're 3 points ahead of me on 117. And JB well clear on 140. So as I said, John, if you're not feeling up to it, don't worry about them predictions this week. But look, we'll go to the First Division first, and we will start with Athlone against Wexford, Gary.
Yeah, interesting game this one, and probably hard to pick. Paul Doolan has come into Athlone and made some changes. Whereas, you know, I'm obviously, and yourself included, are big fans of Ian Ryan, so difficult game here, but it is in Lissy Woolen, so I'm probably going to sneak a win here for Athlone. I'm going to go 2-1 to Athlone.
Yeah, look, I'm going to go 1-0 Athlone. I know they don't really do clean sheets too often, but as you said, Paul Doolan's made a couple of changes since he's come in, and they did win 1-0 against Bray last time out, which was a fantastic result. So home advantage, and the fact that they are still in with just a sniff of playoff football at the end of this season. It'd be an absolute disaster if they slip up against the team at the bottom, but I certainly do not expect Wexford to make it easy for them. I think Wexford will go up and they'll sit in two banks of four and they'll look to play on the counter, and if they time things right, they will get joy against this at lone back four.
But 100%, I think.
I just think with Doolan there, he's probably a little bit stronger on that side of the game defensively than maybe their previous manager was, so I'd expect that lone just to sneak it.
Yeah, no, I fully agree. I was going to say something similar. I think probably going to be a bit more reliability at the back, I think, is going to be the key here for Athlone, and I think that's what will make the difference on the night.
Right, Cabinteely against Shells. Cabo, you know, they've been very inconsistent this season, but they're rarely an easy opponent to go up against, particularly when you go to Stradbroke. But Shells are closing in on the title. 3 points coming their way this weekend?
Yeah, I'm afraid so. Can't really see anything else here. Shells had a bit of a blip that wasn't capitalised on by the teams around them, really.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to, you know, we've been talking so many times about how great Shelburne have been this year. I don't see them encountering any issues here against Cabo. I know it is in Stradbroke. We've talked about how it is a difficult place to go, but Cabinteely aren't running great this season, haven't had the best of seasons at all, so I'm going to go 3-0 Shells.
Okay, I'm going to go 2-0 Shells, but we will move on. Galway against UCD. It's second against third. They're level on points, but UCD are second thanks to 8 goals of a better return in terms of the goal difference column. So, right, how do we see this one going?
Yeah, great game on in store here. Galway, you know, their chance is really gone, isn't it? Looking at the league table. They have the exact same record, actually, as UCD, which is mad. Only difference is the goal difference. UCD have, you know, and UCD had their own blip, didn't they? You know, they kind of faltered, but they've really got it back on the straight and narrow. I'm going to go for a 2-2 draw here.
2-2 draw, yeah. I just wonder, UCD mentally and physically, how they are after that grueling game against Waterford. I know it didn't go to extra time, but real end-to-end encounter it must have. Emotionally, more than anything, it must have took a good bit out of them to lose the game the way they did.
Yeah, there's definitely an element of that. I think, though, they'll take a lot of, you know, pride in the performance that they put in against Waterford. You know, I thought they did so many things exceptionally well in that game. I wouldn't think that they'll take it too badly. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a tight game. So, 2-2 for me.
Yeah, as I touched on earlier, it'll just be interesting to see now with restrictions gradually easing and stadiums getting fuller, whether home advantage win percentage rates are going to up that little bit. And this is a big game for both sides, as you point out. Maybe if the title's gone, it's important if you can finish higher up in the league for playoff reasons, obviously. So it's a big game here. So I'm just going to side with the home team based on the fact, obviously, they have home advantage and UCD. They might be just physically and mentally feeling it a little bit after the way they went out against Waterford. So I'm going to go 2-1 to Galway, but it should be a cracking game, that one. We'll move on. Treaty against Cork. I suppose we've been praising Treaty pretty much all season long, but over the last probably, 4 or 5 weeks, we've really been highlighting the great turnaround at Cork, and they're probably still just about in with a sniff of playoffs as well. It's a very remote possibility, but if they could get a win here, it'd be a huge statement. It is a Munster derby as well, so I'm sure they'd love to get a result against Treaty over in Limerick.
Yeah, they would. I think home advantage is going to be a key in this one. Treaty have had great support since since fans are allowed back into the game, and as you mentioned, it's a bit of a Munster derby as well. So Cork City, whether or not the Cork City of old, is still a great name coming into town, and with fans being able to come back. And of course, you know, Treaty weren't playing at the weekend, so there's probably a bit more of an itching to go to a game this weekend. I'm going to go 2-1 Treaty, despite Cork's, you know, kind of revival this year, in recent times. I don't see them putting up I see them putting up a good fight, but I think Treaty will have too much for them.
I'm going to go for the old reliable here, a 1-1 draw.
And the customary sending off?
Yeah, sure, we'll throw it in there. Why not? The way the referees are going at the moment, you'd expect one, wouldn't you? But,
absolutely.
Look, Treaty, what are they on? 37. You know, that they're almost there, aren't they, in terms of confirming playoffs. So, you know, I think Treaty would be happy with a draw here. They're not going to really lose anything by picking up a point. They're 4 clear of Bray at the moment, so put a bit more breathing room between themselves and fifth place. But I think Treaty know they're not going to be obviously challenging for the title, so it's not the be on and end all if they don't win this game. I just think they'll be set up to be solid and well organized, whereas Cork, I think the way they've been playing with a little bit more freedom recently, the likes of Dylan McGlade and Murphy as well have been stepping up and scoring lots of goals. So
yeah,
I think Cork will come to Limerick to have a go, and I think Treaty might actually end up maybe playing on the back foot a little bit and playing off the counter-attack. But I think they'll be more than happy with that. They're a really well-organised side, Treaty. So I can see this one being a draw. It could be a good game of football, that one as well. I'll go 1-1 there. We'll move on. Cove against Bray. Look, this is a huge game for Bray. I know it hasn't been a great season at all for Cove, but St. Comans Park is never an easy place to go. And Bray, as I said, they're just clinging in there in terms of that last playoff position at the moment. So they could really do with a win here.
They really could, and who knows if they'll get it. It's so hard to understand the way Bray have been going. They've been hot and cold every single week.
And just to point out as well, obviously, Murphy has been confirmed now as the Cove manager until the end of the 23 season. So the players in that team, they now know that is the boss. This is the man they're going to be answering to. So if there's players there that want to be there next year, they're going to have to start putting in big performances, and no better time to start than now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, he's going to have to look and go, right, who do I want to keep around here for next season? I want to keep my job until, you know, I want to see out my contract at the very least. So what do I need to, who do I need to take with me on that journey? From what I've seen so far, there probably isn't too many candidates, but you know, he'll obviously see something different. There's a great opportunity here for Cove to get a bit of a scalp. You know, they're kind of, you know, stumbling to the end of the season at this point, which is a real disappointment. But I don't think Bray will have enough to beat them either, which is more of an indictment on Bray than it is on Cove Ramblers. So I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw here down in St. Coleman's.
Yeah, look, I'm getting hard to call this game. It's probably the toughest game to call because they're two teams that have had fairly poor seasons. I know Bray are in those playoff places, but they're not performing to the levels we would have expected, and Cove, their season just never really got going, in all honesty. So, look, I'm just going to go with a 1-0 to Bray here, but I wouldn't be predicting them with any great certainty at all.
No, certainly not, and I think you'd be right on that one. Just a quality isn't there in probably either team at the minute, so probably a fair assessment.
Don't forget, listeners, we've still got an interview with Chris Forrester to come, but we're going to move on to the Premier Division predictions now. And Gary, we'll go to Bohemians against Finn Harps first. What's your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, tough game for Bohs. You know, they both played this week. Probably
could
Harps
they be or... could they pick the bones though of a tired Harps team here?
That's what I was going to say, or well, to a certain extent say that. I think Harps have played a lot of football in the last, you know, week or so, of course. The replay didn't help them, particularly coming out on the wrong side of the replay as well. Even the extra time is, you know, it all adds up.
Yeah.
And the travelling, of course, down to Oriel. So I think Bohs are going to have too much for Harps here. It's not going to be a steamrolling performance either. Harps, no matter how much football they've played, they always turn up. So I'm going to go for a 2-0 Bohs win.
Yeah, follow you on that one all the way. Right, we'll move on to Derry against Longford. We probably didn't give Longford enough credit. We were talking a lot about Dundalk last week and the problems there. We probably didn't give Longford enough attention in terms of their win against Dundalk. And I know people will say, well, look, Longford are already relegated, they're bottom of the league, but this is what I've been talking about when we've been having this debate about the future direction of the club, no matter what league they're in next season. We've seen a lot of criticism online for Darragh Doyle and some of the players, but the point I've made is this is a Longford team that had very little to play for against Dundalk, only pride, and they rolled their sleeves up with 9 men and they died out on the pitch to get that win. Whereas Dundalk, the dire situation they're in, you could probably question their effort levels on the night. The fact that Darragh Doyle and Johnny Martin can pick the players up every week and keep turning out these performances, even when they went to Pats the week before and should have got a result against Pats, and they lost the game in a really bad way. Obviously, the chance for Dobbs doesn't go the way it should have gone, and then Pats break down the other end and they score. You know, to be able to pick the players off the floor and go in and turn in that performance against Dundalk, I think it really says a lot again about the management team. And I know I keep saying it and people probably think I'm turning into a bit of a cheerleader for them, but I was just really, really impressed with the effort levels against Dundalk. Okay, the quality of the game probably wasn't great, but I just think they'll go up to the Brandywell and they'll give Derry a tough game here. But Derry, the way they're playing at the moment, they'll be strong favourites. I expect Derry to win, but I just think Longford, we probably didn't highlight the performance against Dundalk enough.
I see where you're coming from. I do want to point out something. It's something you said. Longford Town aren't relegated yet. Do you know what I mean? While we all think it's a formality, and a lot of people do, and they're probably not wrong, the players have no business thinking that. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
That if they think like that, then pack it in. They shouldn't be involved in it at all. I'd hate to think that players that, well, regardless of what they believe, privately, they shouldn't be thinking like that when they should still have to show up for the club week in and week out until the end of the season. For this game, it's a tough one, isn't it?
It's not the way Derry played. I know they didn't get the win in Daly Mount, but the football they played, I just thought it was on a different level. It was some of the best football I've seen this season. You just think of that front three: McGonagall, Akintunde, and Junior. It's such a fluid front three. I see this been a difficult night at the office for Longford, but I think Longford will go up there. They'll do like they did earlier in the season. They'll set up very solid, very organised, and it will be tough to break this Longford team down. But if Derry do hit the front, then you could see them maybe scoring two or three goals. But the longer the game goes on, we saw in the last meeting in the Brandywell when Rob Manley went down the other end and scored a goal. He had no right to score, and Longford only they didn't get the rub of the green on the day. They should have left the Brandywell with 3 points. But I think it'll be a tough game this for Derry, but they're certainly the heavy, heavy favourites.
Yeah, no, there's no question about that. The favourites will certainly be Derry. There's no question about that. Rory Higgins has turned that team around in pretty much every area, and they're bearing the fruits of that by their table position at the moment. It's plain for everyone to see. But I think there's a lot to Longford Town. I think they'll definitely have a lot of, it'll change their mindset. You know what I mean? They have won a game. Now that could be essentially meaningless come, you know, 10 o'clock Friday night. There's a lot to take in. It'll be a very important game for Derry as well. They'll be feeling a bit sore that they left a couple of points behind them on Monday. I think, you know, the best I can say for this game would probably be a 1-1 draw, and that's what I'm hoping. But I think Derry need to really show up and be professional, put Monday night's game out of their minds. They played very well in that game, but still they probably dropped a couple of points there. But they'll have to look at Longford Town and going, right, we just need to put these lads down and move on to the next one. They're still trying to get into, you know, the third place position. A lot of pressure is on that. So
Even fourth place could be huge. Yeah, if Pats win the cup, obviously fourth would be enough.
Would be enough, but we don't know that, and I don't think Pats will win the cup. So I'm not sure who thinks Pats will win the cup. Are their own fans? I don't think they will. So I think Bows are going to win the cup. So Derry will need to keep plugging along and get into the third spot, and because it's in their own hands, do you know what I mean? They can essentially do it, so they need to be looking at Longford Town as, yep, they did well, they won a game against us earlier on this season, and they bet Dundalk last time out, but they can't look at that as anything too important. Derry came down to Longford earlier this season and bet them quite comfortably 2-0, so they're going to have to look at it in the same way and go, we need 3 points here and nothing else is acceptable.
Yeah, look, the only way I don't see Derry winning this game is if there is a bit of complacency, but no one really. I don't see that at all. So, look, I'm going to go for a 2-1 win for Derry, but I definitely think Longford will give Derry something to think about.
Just on that, I think it's incredibly important that Longford Town don't concede first.
Yeah.
I know that's easy said, but
early on, at least if you concede late in the game, you know, you have a chance maybe to peg a few set pieces in or a few long balls and see can you make something happen. But if you concede early and Derry have the home fans behind them, I could see that being a very long night at the office.
Exactly. We've said it before, Longford Town can't concede early because we've rarely seen them, or we've rarely thought that they're going to score twice in a game. That can't be the case on Friday night.
We'll move on. Dundalk against Sligo. As I said a little bit earlier on, they only met recently in the league and Sligo had a fairly handy night at the office. But Dundalk have their famous home support back behind them here. How do we see this one playing out?
Yeah, tough one again. You know, hard work done for Dundalk on our last night, with the extra time as well. But I think that they'll be well recuperated by Friday. Will they have any of those players back that were
well? We don't know.
Okay. It's probably, there's an opportunity here for Dundalk to get one back on Sligo, playing them again so quickly. It'll be a very tough game. It'll be a different kettle of fish than what they saw last night. I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw on this one. Sligo still haven't impressed me at all, even with their little mini revival.
I watched the Sligo Shamrock Rovers game at the weekend, and I just thought that the performance from Sligo was very poor. We hear a lot about Liam Buckley's style of play and how they like to keep the ball on the deck. I thought they were very direct, but not even in a good sense against Rovers. I thought there was just a lot of really aimless balls up to Figueroa and up to Andre Wright. They were just lumping balls up there, but with no real purpose to it. And I just thought it was a really poor and flat performance from them the other night.
Yeah, it's unfortunate the way the thing has gone for them, isn't it? They really shouldn't have bet long for that night. You know, that was the turning point for them. But look, I think going down to Oriel Park, they'll have to take some confidence in their previous performances against Dundalk. Dundalk, no matter what happens or what anyone says, Dundalk aren't the Dundalk of old. So they need to go and look, right, we can actually put these fellas down. We're up in Oriel Park. Who's to say that the fans won't be on Dundalk's back early on if it's not going well? There could be a lot of pressure on Dundalk early on, and if they can get at them at the start, who knows how that game will go out. But I'm going to play it safe and go 1-1 here.
Yeah, well, look, I don't think Dundalk have won three games in a row all season.
I think that was highlighted there. But someone said it there at the weekend.
So look, they have. It's been rare that they've strung two wins together this season. Consistency has been an issue for Dundalk.
There's been
false dawns before. We saw them beat Shamrock Rovers, and they just never kicked on from then. And I just thought the cup win the other night, as great as it was for them to reach the semi-finals, I just, looking at the performance there, I don't see them having a kick in the league off the back of that. So as disappointed as I was with Sligo, I think they'll go up there with a game plan, and I just don't see Dundalk having the quality. I just thought they were really, really poor last night against Harps, albeit they won the game and they scored some great goals. I just thought over the 90 minutes, the football on show was quite poor, and I think a better side...
quality wasn't there, yeah.
Yeah, I just think a better side will be able to pick this Dundalk team off, particularly if they're missing the same amount of players as they were last night. So I'm just going to slightly side with Sligo 2-1, but wouldn't be surprised at all if your prediction plays out there with a draw. We'll move on. Waterford against Drogheda. Obviously, this has been a strange fixture at times this season. Drogheda, what was it, 7-0 earlier in the season with the Waterford 19. So can Waterford get a bit of revenge for that very painful day?
Yeah, this is an interesting one, all right. You know, and even at the thought, that was the first game of the season for the two sides as well. Up in United Park, and
well, that was the one nil, wasn't it? Was it 1-0 Drogheda that day?
It was, yeah. I remember the last minute of the
game, it was a really, really poor game, and then horrendous. There was the 7-0 then later in the season. So
exactly. I think of course two completely different teams at the minute. The stuff that's going on with Drogheda, you know, they've kind of faltered in the league in a lot of ways. Brought some of it back, but not with brilliant performances at all. I think this is going to be a tough one for them. Waterford are running so well, going into the Cup semi-final. Things are going great for them at the moment, aren't they? And I think they're going to win this one and probably put... You know, I talked before about Tim Clancy saying they're in a relegation battle. I still don't really believe that. I think they're still well ahead of... the relegation.
9 points clear of Dundalk at the moment.
Yeah, who would have said that earlier on the season if that was the case at this point? But look, I think this game is going to be a difficult one for Drogheda. Waterford have a lot of good performance in the team at the moment. They're running very well, running very highly. I think they're going to beat Drogheda 2-0.
Oh, wow. Okay. I know they dropped off for a slight period there, Drogheda, but they had the win against Dundalk. And then I was at their game actually against Bowes recently where they won 3-2. And it was a strange game, that one. They were 3-0 up without doing a huge pile in the game. And there was some controversial decisions as well. And in the second half, Bowes really should have got something out of the game. But their goalkeeper made some fantastic saves on the night. But
That's what's kind of concerning me, though. You know, they were running so well, and then they kind of put themselves under a lot of pressure.
Yeah, but to be fair to them, they have bounced back in recent weeks. And look, they're 9 points clear of Dundalk. I know Dundalk have a game in hand, but do we really see Drogheda falling below Harps or Waterford? I'm not so sure. No. I think they've turned a corner enough in the last few weeks that they'll be okay. Finding it tough to call this one, and I know what you're saying about Waterford, the great run they've been on under Bertram, but will they be, even though they won that game against UCD, will they be feeling it a little bit? It was a really high energy game they played the other night.
It was, yeah.
I was going to go for a 2-1 win to Drogheda, but you know what? I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw here.
You were actually considering Drogheda winning this game?
Well, look, they've turned that blip around. They've managed to halt the slide and win a couple of games of late. So, but I think going down to the RSC now will be a tricky little venue for them. So I'm going to go for a draw there on that one. Look, final game to discuss is the big game of the weekend, and it could prove out to be one of the biggest games of the season. It's Pats against Shamrock Rovers. If Pats have any ambition of winning the title, then they have to win this game, don't they? Or at least not lose it.
Yeah, well, look, isn't that it in one? At least not lose it. That says it all, really, for me. Like, I don't see... I see what you're saying. I think, you know, the fact that it's in Richmond Park, it'll probably be packed out as well. Great crowds in Richmond Park at late, and you know, Shamrock Rovers coming in, Dublin Derby. I don't think Pats are good enough to win the league at all. No. I don't think they're good enough to win this game on Friday either. I think the best result for them will be a draw. They might sneak it. I'm going to go 1-1 in this one, but they might have ambition to win the league. I don't see it happening though.
Look, they've been very tight fixtures anytime they've met this season. Obviously, Rovers, the last time they met, got a late goal to win it. But Rovers, I know they had that bit of a blip. Obviously, they went out of the cup and went out of Europe as well. And then they beat Waterford, but they weren't overly convincing. Against the Sligo team. Look, they never really looked like they weren't going to win the game, Shamrock Rovers, because Sligo were just so poor on the night. But yeah. I would have expected Rovers, Shamrock Rovers to go maybe do a little bit more given how poor Sligo were, but they just didn't really do it. So, as you said, a packed out Richmond. I can probably see this one being a draw, but I do agree that I just do not see St. Pat's winning the league.
Oh, no.
So, I'm going for a 2-2 draw on this one.
I know this might be mad to say, but I just don't even see Pat scoring 2 goals in this game, which is maybe not crazy, but yeah, I'm just haven't been impressed by them. I know they're second in the league and all of that. I think it's too far for them.
Mm. Well, look, one man who'll be hoping to get on the score sheet on Friday night is St. Pat's midfielder Chris Forrester, and he joins us now on Between the Stripes LOI podcast.
Hi Chris, how are you?
Yeah, good, thank you.
Too bad. You've obviously been home for a couple of years now. I was just wondering, do you feel this is the best Pats team you've played in since you've come home, or have there been maybe better teams on paper that didn't perform? What's your thoughts on that?
I think the teams from previous 3 years have been all decent teams. You know, when I first came back, you had a lot of good names in the team, but I don't think any of the teams that I've played in have the desire and the will that we have as a team this year. You know, you can see by in our games that we're just proper, really, really, really fit. We're well organised and stuff like that. So I think that's probably a bit better. But in terms of the team being better, I think so as well. We have some really good, exciting young players, and we have a lot of players that are experienced that are, you know, probably in their prime as well. So, this year is better than the previous.
Obviously, from what you've been saying there about Stephen O'Donnell, he's obviously played a big part in that as well. But I know some of the players I might mention here are injured at the moment, with the likes of Mountney coming in and Benson, and even at the back there, Paddy Barrett and Sam Bone and Coughlin. They're all, I suppose, what you'd call League of Ireland players. There's proper experience there from players that have won things and been there and done that. Do you think that's been a big help?
Yeah, I think it's a massive help. Robbie's a great leader around the place. John, great person as well. They're all really good people. And you can see the way they walk every day. You can see the way they conduct themselves. So, you know, it gives a great visual for the young boys to help on how to conduct yourself and, you know, how to train proper. You know, with John and with Robbie, they've had previous experiences of winning stuff with Dundalk. So they've brought that mentality into their changing room. And, you know, the lads are just fed off that and everyone's kind of buying into the idea of this is the way you conduct yourself and this is how you go about being a professional footballer. And it's just been working really well with everybody here.
And you mentioned yourself there, you feel your fitness levels are the best they've been since you've probably come home. In terms of your performances, where do you feel you are? Because there's always so much talk about Chris Forrester and can he reach the heights of what he done when he was here previously with St. Pat's. Where do you feel your performances are?
I think I've been doing all right. A few goals, a few good performances, you know. But I think there is, like, I know I'm getting older than that, but I think there's more in me in terms of performances and being more consistent week in, week out. But no, overall, I'm happy with how the season's going and, you know, there's 9 games left now. I want to really kick on and, you know, make these the best 9 games of the, rather than the previous, out of the previous 27, so...
And some silverware, obviously, you feel probably would help unlock even more from yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the games that you want. It's like this game on Friday now that we're playing in. It's the game you want to be playing in. It's when there's pressure on you and, you know, the fans are there and, you know, there's hype around it in the media and that. So I think it only bring out the best in players with this kind of these kind of games anyway.
Final one for me. I'm sure you've seen Georgie Kelly's goal last night. A lot of people are saying goal of the season contender. You're usually a name that's in the mix for that award. Have you got one stored up the sleeve for this weekend?
Hopefully. There's still 9 games left. I scored a nice one against Longford.
I know you did, yeah.
It's Georgie, so I might have to try to do something. As it wouldn't be right to not have a Chris Forrester goal in the season. Goal of the season, sorry.
Brilliant stuff, Chris. Thanks a million.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Yeah, so as ever, looking forward to what should be a cracking weekend of League of Ireland football. And as I said earlier on the show, I can barely remember a time where I've probably watched more League of Ireland between going to games, but been able to sit down when I'm not able to go to a game, but finish work late in the evening or something, and been able to sit down and watch a game. And that's thanks to LOI TV, Gary. And I just asked a question the other day. I just threw it out there. Where do people see the future of LOI TV? Do they see it being long-term or... would they miss it if it wasn't around? And 99.9% of the responses were, it has to stay next season. And I got a lot of tweets, particularly from overseas followers of the league. What's your own thoughts going forward on LOI TV? Do you think it's here to stay, or is it hanging on a knife edge at the moment for where it might be next season?
I think there's two elements to it. It's hanging on a knife edge for probably a lot of clubs and the league itself, whereas it has to stay for all the fans. So which of those wins out is up for discussion, really.
Well, what do you think the biggest obstacles to have been around next season are? Is it just simply the manpower that has to go into it, or the costs, or do you feel that it is keeping people away from grounds? Because that's been a suggestion some people have made. But at the end of the day, I think if you really want to go and watch a game, you will go out and watch it. Even pre-pandemic, you know, we would have been having the discussion of what clubs can do more to make kind of match nights, not just about the football, but more of a family night out and a bit of an experience and something not to be missed. And I just think now the fact there is that streaming option, the onus is on the clubs even more to make match nights an event that you don't want to miss and you want to bring the family along. And look, I know we can get into the discussion of facilities again and certain grounds maybe not been that family friendly or whatever, but I just think overall clubs need to do more work in the community and more to make match nights kind of an unmissable event aside from the football and the stream. And obviously is there then for the overseas fans and people that can't travel to away games and the like.
Yeah, I think... there's a lot of good work being done in so many clubs across the league. While there's probably an element of truth to saying that, you know, clubs need to do more for the match night experience, probably still a bit tough to hear considering the amount of work that is going in. There isn't a lot of budget there for anything other than keeping the lights on. But there is it comes down to support from outside of you know, the core fan base, let's say, you know, what are the FEI willing to do? What are the FEI wanting to do? And probably a bit further afield as well. From the LOI TV aspect of it, I think it has to stay. You know, even like what, 3 or 4 years ago, you can imagine saying, I'm not in Ireland at the moment, but I will be able to watch the town game.
Mm.
It's just unthinkable. It's unfortunate that it took a global pandemic to get to that point. But unfortunately, here we are. And, you know, as the saying goes, never waste a good crisis. Now, that was meant in or said in not as nice terms as what we're talking about here. But at the end of the day, we have a great service that a lot of clubs are doing unbelievable work in. As people know that I'm involved with the streaming of Longford Town games, and you know, I'm looking to always improve as best I can in my spare time. But as a feature and as a service, as a support to the league, I think it's great. I think it has to stay from a fan perspective. There is an element of, you know, the pricing structure and how that is affecting gates. There's a lot to be said for that. Like, I don't think I'd ever say that, oh, I'm not bothered about going down the country to watch a game live.
Yeah.
When I can watch it on LOI TV. But that's just who I am. And I think there's a lot, you know, even though I know this is slightly separate, there's a lot of talk about, you know, we have the World Cup every couple of years, you know, and people saying, oh, yeah, well, I get entertainment out of my football, so that's why I want to see it every couple of years. I think that'd be horrendous. But if there's a lot of people that don't think like me or you, that would be to go to a game anywhere and watch a game anywhere, even if it's in a park, you know what I mean? We'd watch anything because we love the live game. But a lot of people aren't like that and wouldn't see the same value in it that me and you would have. So it really depends on what clubs are willing to do. A lot of clubs made a lot of investment in their streaming solutions for this season. But it really goes on to where, what the league are willing to do, how they're willing to support us. I know I've given RTE probably a hard time on this before, but, you know, how come should they be helping us out? Do you know what I mean? They have the experience, the know-how. You know, I was kind of just left up to, at the end of the day.
Yeah, well, I think it's fair to say, Gary, the LOI TV product has far outweighed what RTE put together with Watch LOI. The actual product is far in advance.
Yeah, I don't think that's up for question. But, you know, I was talking to my friend about it, who isn't a fan of the league, but started watching Longford Town, particularly at the pandemic. And his thing was, and this mightn't sound great, it was like, well, if you have people that care about it as much as you do, involved with it, well, then of course it's going to be 1,000 times better. What Watch LOI was the complete bare minimum. And did we stream the games? Can we tick that box? Yes. That was the only thing that RTE cared about to that end. So, you know, we can look about it and talk about how good or bad the Watch LOI service was, but the people that were involved in it, in a lot, you know, someone made a decision not to have highlights in that service. Do you know what I mean? So, how could any club design service not be much better? I don't think it was ever a runner that it wouldn't be. Mm. I do want to highlight, you know, there's a lot, as I said before, lots of clubs are doing such great work, and it's great to see what clubs are willing to do to support their own, you know, what their output and what they're showing every week. That I know a lot of fans, a lot of clubs that are doing stuff, they're always trying to improve what they're showing to fans all the time, and it's just great to see. Will the league and the FEI support them as much as they should? That remains to be seen. I'm not really sure if they will or if they have the desire to do it, which is disappointing, but unfortunately it's surprising, is it?
No. And look, the point I made on social media during the week was, I just hope we don't get to a stage where we're 3 or 4 weeks out from the new season next year and we're asking, are these games going to be streamed or not? Because that's the situation we found ourselves in this season. We didn't know whether Watch LOI was continuing, whether the clubs were going to do their own streams, whether they were going to be Pixlot cameras or not. And I just think it says an awful lot that Pixlot cameras were even considered for the league, because they're clearly not up to the grade.
No, they're not. And as I said earlier on, it's so disappointing that the highlights from that UCD game against Waterford won't be seen in the glory that they should have been. But, you know, I think it's great to, you know, we highlighted back to what happened with that conversation with Pixelot. Thank God the club said collectively, we're not doing this. You know, this is insane. And I'm delighted that they did. Some of the productions out there are simply fantastic, and you have to throw your hat off to a lot of people that are getting those across the line. But I think the idea that even Pixelot is still a runner in the league or on the surface at all, no matter what level it is, kind of just goes to show that a lot of it is probably a tick box or tick boxing.
Box ticking exercise.
Yeah, sorry. In a lot of ways. And if people that are making decisions at this level continue to see it like that, then there isn't the desire to improve it. One thing I do want to highlight is that in a lot of places, there was some help given to clubs about what they were doing and how they were going to solve the streaming. But there wasn't any support given in a lot of areas either. Mm. That was particularly disappointing. Of course, I had the experience from last year. So I just continued doing what I was doing pretty much from last year with a lot of improvements, if I might say so. Replays and graphics and live statistics and all of that stuff, all have improved, but there was no help. You know, there was no like, right, let's get a, you know, some lad out from RTE to be on a Zoom call for a day. Do you know what I mean? There was nothing. And that just goes to show that if something like that couldn't even be provided, just to go, oh, you're the expert, can I ask you 3 questions, please? You know, that's not a runner. I actually read a form there. I had to translate what was being said to get a piece of information. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's crazy. But unfortunately, a lot of clubs were left up to their own. It was left up to their own devices, which just isn't good enough. And there is the responsibility there in the FEI to go, right, we're going to help the clubs do what they want to do. We should facilitate that far better than what we're at the moment. If you compare the Watch LOI service to the LOI TV service, it's night and day. There's no comparison to the two at all. And the proof is in the pudding. If the Watch LOI website even existed anymore, you can go back to some of the video that was put up. There's no comparison at all. So the clubs are there. They want to get involved. They want to do it. They want to make the investment and spend the money. Are they going to be helped by RTE, the FAI, and the league itself? It remains to be seen. I think it should, in closing, I think, well, not in closing, but to finish off the point, I think it should stay. It's a great asset to the league. It needs to be helped. Highlights, I think this is the first time that there hasn't been audio sync issues in the highlights this week on YouTube. That's just the start of it. But the fact that that was an issue at all says a lot. So more support from the FEI, and I think clubs will be happy to continue producing their own content and supplying the video to LOI TV.
Yeah, no, look, couldn't disagree with any of that. And that's where we will close this week's show. A massive thanks to Gary for joining me as ever. A big thanks to Stephen O'Donnell and for Chris Forrester for joining us on this week's show. And as I said, it should be another cracking weekend in the League of Ireland. Get well soon, John. Hopefully you can join us next week. And to all of our listeners, I hope you can join us next week as well. We'll be chatting to you then. But just a quick reminder before we go, if you want to support the podcast, if you're enjoying our content, you can make a donation on buymeacoffee.com/BTSLOI. And you'll find Between the Stripes on all of the usual social outlets. You'll find us on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. And for all of the latest episodes, you can find us on BetweenTheStripes.net. But for this week, from Kieran and Gary, and for John in his absence, we'll say good night. Thanks for listening, and we'll speak to you again next week.
Thanks for listening. Check out BetweenTheStripes.net for all your favourite BTS content in one place. See you all next week.